Now, in fact, I wanted her to stay up here because I wanted her to talk about what she planned and coordinated for next week. Come and share a little bit with the people. Come and share with the people.
December 10th.
You all pray for Taylor and the team as they, again, we're reaching out to the community, underprivileged young people, and she's been planning this for months, okay? So I really need you all to pray that it's successful and that it scratches where it itches for our community for those young people, amen? Listen, thank you, Taylor. Amen. Listen. If y'all know anything about young people, that's how you get their attention. Or millennials, okay? Let me go back one. Oh, is my slide not up there? Is my slide up there for, there we go. You all do me a favor. In fact, young people, I want y'all to do me a favor. This is how you get to them. I'm talking to the adults over here. So adults, this is how you get to them. This is how you get them to pay attention to your sermon. Young people, I want y'all to follow us at TPNCito on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Okay? What I want y'all to do, every time I say the word millennial, I want you to count it. And if you post on there how many times at the end of the sermon that I say millennial, so how many times has that been so far? Two times, right? All right. So I want you to follow us and then post at the end of the sermon how many times I said the word millennial so that, and if you get it right, I got a special gift card for y'all after church, okay? Is that a deal? So now this is for, let's say 18 and under. How about that? Let's just say 18 and under, okay? Y'all, this is New Sabbath, amen? So I'm trying to get them plugged in. All right. Let me give a shout out to a lot of our young adults. I don't know how this worked out on Youth Sabbath when I'm preaching for the youth and young adults, but they decided to have a weekend retreat. The young adults kind of just organically kind of made this happen. So shout out to y'all at Massanutten. What's up, y'all? Hope y'all have a good time. And I hope they're watching. Y'all better be watching. Either way. Also, church, I want you all to pray. We have just started a very, very special series for our TP Talk program, and I see some of the young ladies from TP Talk, Laura, Stephanie, what's up, y'all? They came last night on the 10 commandments of dating. Parents, please, I know it's difficult on Friday nights to bring your young people out. It's the traffic and it's a whole thing. We have food for them, so y'all don't have to make an extra stop and get them food. We always have food for them. And we're going 10 weeks straight. We started last night. We have 15 young people there, amen? And we're going to go this Friday coming and next Friday all the way through until February, okay? So I want you all to pray for us. You guys are going to start seeing some flyers around. Bring your young people out. This is one of those timeless series that we've done before. It has been extremely successful. Amory remembers when we did it the first time, and it was uber successful. Some of our young adults now, but the young people that were there that time are still talking about it. And that was years ago, so we decided to bring it back. So I want you all to pray for us because there's things in there. We all know that if you make the wrong decision in a certain relationship, and see y'all, young people are here, the adults, they laughing, but sometimes the truth will make you laugh, okay? So I want you all to pray for us and pray that they will come and that they will learn things so they can make wise decisions in their dating relationships, amen? The title of today's message, The Gospel, Millennial Edition. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need your help this morning. Lord, I know there's a heart and mind that needs to hear what I'm going to be sharing today. I pray for every heart and mind that one little nugget, one little gem will find a home in the hearts and minds of everybody who can hear me online, everybody else here that's here today. Lord, we need you more than we ever needed you before. And in this generation, Lord, it's time for your truth to shine bright as it has ever shone. And it's through these millennials, Lord. that it's going to happen. Help us as a church to do that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Microsoft Windows has gone through many, many, many additions. Founded in 1975 by William Gates. And as of 2013, Microsoft Windows will have 1.5 billion users worldwide. Microsoft Windows. There are over 25 different versions of Microsoft Windows. Some of y'all remember some of these old classics. Some of y'all remember that. And y'all were excited when it came out. Now, it's a wonder, and one of the most popular, most successful companies globally in the last 20 years, and you would think it's kind of assumed, but what would make them continue to have to go through version after version, edition after edition? Okay? And you would think, okay, well, what's the big deal? Why do we have so many different versions? Well, can you imagine doing an assignment? Young people, I want y'all to look at this. This is what we used to use. This was Office back in the day, 1.0. Okay? Imagine doing your homework assignments using this. Now, technically, you might get it somewhat together, and I don't even know if you can email and send this. I don't even know if this will attach into an email. And so you look at this, but we laugh now, but I want us to understand is that just the way that Microsoft knew that to stay on the cutting edge and to stay relevant in the world, they had to continue to revise and update and move forward. But one thing never changed, and if anybody's paying attention, see, I'm a computer nerd, and I understand this. I work in IT. So what happened was when Windows 8 came out, everybody was upset. Nobody liked the tiles. Get rid of that. What Windows had to do was go back and put back in, who knows what I'm talking about? The start menu. The start button. It had to be the start button with the little Windows symbol in there. That's what I want. Bring that back. And Microsoft knew if they would have kept going the way they went, they would have tanked. And nobody would have bought Microsoft Windows anymore, so they had to bring it back in Windows 10. Now, they kept adding new and awesome things to it, but the core of it stayed the same. Okay, I'm going somewhere today. Yeah. I'm going somewhere. Technology has become more complicated, faster, smaller, more robust, cheaper. And in order to stay relevant, Microsoft had to continue to push the envelope, push innovation. That's one of those big words, innovation. My main point today, the gospel, though the core will never change, salvation by grace, by grace through faith in Christ alone, its implementation has to be reframed to reach this current generation as if Jesus is indeed returning within it. Let me tell you something. The way we have it going right now, we're swinging and missing. I just got to say it because I deal with them all day, every day, and we try to teach them, and we're here on Friday nights, we're on Sabbath mornings, we're on retreats, we're on summer trips, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of the things that we have in place as a church is not scratching where it's itching. It's not. It's not, and it's time for us to really step it up. So God gave me this message 4 months ago. I didn't even know when I would be preaching, and he told me, this is what I want you to share. This has been one of the most difficult because there's things I got to really step on some toes today, but I pray that God's spirit is speaking to you. Hello. My name is the millennial. I need church. I believe that not a big majority of us do not know who the millennials are. We don't get them. We don't understand them. If you go to Google right now and type in millennial, I mean, there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of information and articles and news articles and blogs and videos all on the millennials. They have been the most studied generation of all time. But yet the most misunderstood. Boy, oh boy. It is the me generation. Now, millennial, I'm going to step on your toes, but I'm going to come back on the other end. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? See, this is actually the cover of Time Magazine. And y'all know when anything hits the cover of Time Magazine, it's relevant. It's important. Somebody's paying attention. The world is paying attention to this generation. I promise you that. Everything is changing. This millennial generation is changing everything as we've known it. They are lazy, entitled narcissists who still live with their mama and daddies. But I love this. Why? They'll save us all. See, some of us don't believe this generation can actually get it done. But I promise you, it's in their hands, and they have everything that they need to get this gospel out to the world. I promise you, right now, today, they have everything they need. But do we get it as a church? Do we understand that? Okay, so who's who here? Who's who? So let's talk about who these folk are. All right, so we know who the baby boomers are, okay? So these are those who were born in this age group. Okay, so we got the Gen Xers. I'm just within this one. I'm almost, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Yeah, I don't care. I'm 39. It doesn't matter. I'm 39 years old. It's okay. I'm all right. You know, I'm comfortable with myself. Yes.
Amen.
All right, and then here go the millennials. This is who God has called me to minister to. Y'all pray for me.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all pray for me. This is tough. See, so now we know how, this is, boy, I tell you what. This has been a doozy of a generation. I promise. This has been something. This has been something right here. Do they sleep with their cell phone? Yes. The millennials outnumber everybody. 83% of millennials sleep with their phone right next to them, or literally sometimes in their hands, falling asleep on top of it, all kind of stuff. It's right there with them. 83%. Now, Gen Xers, we're not too far behind. 68%. Boomers, everybody else. This is a cell phone generation. Okay? Nowadays they call them screenagers instead of teenagers. Huh? Here we go. Now, this is, I need y'all to get this part right. This is why it's so important. This is why the world has stopped and has to study and really dig into understanding them. 80 million millennials in the U.S. What does that mean? They make up, now you can't read this, forgive me, but they make up 24% of the job market. That's been the biggest ever. Of a percentage of one generation filling the job market. And see, the problem is some of y'all are managers and you know, run companies and stuff. Man, I'm not hiring no millennials. I've interviewed them, and they don't bring nothing to the table. They don't want to come and work on time. All kind of stuff. But I promise you, you don't hire them now, your company will sink soon. The world understands this. So they have to get to know, they have to understand them so we can get things done, so we can move our company forward. With all their issues. They get that they have to pull them in, okay? Who are the millennials? Millennials spend 96 hours each month on social media. And Facebook leads the way, followed by Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Now, Snapchat is on its way up, but That's what we got here. They spend a lot of time on social media. So if you want to talk to millennial, and if you're not talking on here, guess what? They don't hear you. They don't. You try to call a millennial. You're just not gonna get them. You're just not. But you text them or hop on one of these and send them a direct message, you might get them. This picture sums up who they are. And these are principles of the millennials. I want y'all to hear me today. I'm trying to explain so y'all understand who they are. Okay? This is a picture of Occupy Wall Street. Guess who was all in the crowd? It's all millennials in that crowd. They have rejected the current structure of hierarchies. Rejected it. Because they don't trust anybody on Wall Street. And a lot of those leaders, they've experienced hurt and betrayal from all these bureaucracies. We're done with it. Done. Now, along with that, they have completely different ways of communicating, like I just shared. They're not going to pick up, even with their cell phone in their pocket. You call them. Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. You call them 15 times, and they don't answer. Oh, boy, I'm gonna get on these parents. Millennials, y'all hang in there. I'm going to get on these parents, too. I'm going to explain where I'm going with this. So you try to catch them, but you can't. But they have different ways of communicating. They're way more symbolic. It's all about symbols and emojis now. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. That's what it is. And they're more global than ever. Global. They could pick up their phone right now and text, tweet, DM somebody in Egypt. Or in Asia, anywhere in Asia, right now we get a response just like that. Like the world is right here in Tacoma Park, in the sanctuary, right here. You can text them and they get right back. There's no limitations to information. They can get it instantly. So previous generations that think we need to teach them, we need to inform them. They already know, they got Google. Whatever you got to tell them, they already know. Yeah. Or they can find out in 5 seconds. Yep. But I'm going to explain how we reach them, church. There's a way how to do it. Yeah. God didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh my goodness, the millennials are here. What are we going to do? He has a plan. And it's whether or not we're willing to step out of our paradigm and step out of our comfort level, yep, to be willing to go and reach and minister to them. Because whether you believe it or not, they really want to listen. Let me keep going because when working with youth ministry, you don't get a lot of thank you. Huh? See? We don't do that. You're not going to get it. But it took me a while to understand that. It took me a while to understand that. I think I was doing a great Sabbath school lesson or a sermon. I'm like, man, I really knocked out a party. I'm patting myself on the back. Lord, I did a good job, didn't I? I'm on it today. And I get is straight faces. They on their phone. I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe it. But years later, Pastor, I said, you remember when you said? I'm like, what? Y'all are actually paying attention? They do listen, y'all. But it's where the information or where the knowledge is coming from, where the wisdom is coming from. See, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just the intellectual understanding of it. But wisdom is the application of it. So they want wisdom from you, not the knowledge. I got more. They are pressured. Yep. College debt and the idea of the job market these days has put them at a level of pressure that is unprecedented. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to really navigate through it and not have a mountain of debt waiting on them when they graduate. This is tough for them. They won't show you how they're hurt, but they're hurt and they're scared. They don't know what they're going to do with their futures. All they see is dollar signs and bills, mountains of bills that they can't afford because nobody will want to hire them when they graduate. They feel the pressure of the world on top of them. They talk to me and they text me, they email me, they call me, and they say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm looking for a job. I just graduated." And it means so much to me because when I graduated, I couldn't find a job right away. I know how that feels. Yep. And this is what they say. This is, "Stop raising the price of our dream. RIP to our futures." And we wonder why we can't get them off weed and sleeping around and all kind of stuff. Because they don't know what to do, and when you don't know what to do, you go and make bad decisions. Yes. They're stressed out. Yep. So we need to stop judging them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, for parents, I need y'all to forgive me, but I got to go here. See, again, Time Magazine, the case against overparenting. Now, this is not all parents, okay? Some of y'all doing an awesome job. I see it come through, and I can see the parents that really have invested and really took their time, okay? And understand and really listen to their children. And don't just talk at them like a conversation is a one-way thing. It's a conversation you need to share, and they listen, and then you share, and they... Vice versa, y'all get what I'm talking about. They have college campuses now for freshman orientation have to tell the parents to go home and don't come back. Y'all think it's a game? Ask some of these freshmen and college students right now. They can't come to orientation. I mean, I've heard of parents going up and almost taking exams for their children. Interviewing for jobs for their children. Parents, this is the most overindulged and overprotected generation of all time. And see, like I said, parents, and see what's happening is, how was your exam today? I made cookies. Did you remember to pay the rent? I called a doctor for you. When are you coming home? And what if you get a response? If you get a response, good. And parents, some of y'all lose y'all minds when you don't get a call or a text back. Try easing up. Try taking two steps back. See, it's okay for your children to make mistakes. It's almost like you believe that God is not on the throne and that he can't provide for your child to get a job once they graduate. You actually believe that, so you have to be all over them like white on rice. And then you go to the school. Back in the day, the child would be chastised and have to explain for their bad grades. Now, the parents go and chew the administrators and the teachers out. I've been working in PG County Public Schools for the last 15 years, and I've seen it. Teachers, y'all know what I'm talking about in here. They come at y'all. This needs to stop, parents. It needs to stop. Some of y'all parents, some of y'all are just over. Y'all need to stop. Some of y'all need to stop. I'm telling y'all, and God is my witness, that this is not going to help your children. What you're doing is actually making them weaker. Is doing the reverse effect. You think you're helping them, you're making them weaker and brittle. So all of a sudden they hear bad news, they just fall to pieces. All of a sudden they flunk an exam, they fall to pieces. And then they think, oh, I finally graduated. We'll never let you go. This is how some young millennials think. But see, what needs to happen, church, is that when they're young and in a safe environment, you got to give them opportunities to make mistakes, to flunk an exam without you going and chewing out the teacher. Give them some strength. And what you do is you set clear, appropriate boundaries without pulling back the love and affection. Let me say it again. I don't think y'all heard me that time. Appropriate, clear boundaries without pulling back the love and affection. That means if they come home late, oh, I love you, but there's no phone for a week. I don't know, whatever, something. See, I'm not a parent, but I've just been working with young people for a long time. I know the ones that are overindulged. And what happens is, it's out of a level of guilt for some parents, because they know they're working too much. They don't have time to really spend with them. So here you go, Xbox, here you go, Xbox One, here you go. Jordans, here you go. Stuff. But they really, in their heart of hearts, want you. They want you. They really do, parents. But not in the paradigm of what we've been kind of told and kind of think that will work for them. It can't be just a one-way street of do what I say because. It's got to be a conversation. If you want to have a connection with your child, and I heard one quote and I even tweeted about it. A parent's mindset should be, I want to work myself out of a job as a parent. See, we think, oh, that's always going to be my son. That's always going to be my daughter. They get married and you at the house. You can't leave their house. They got their own house. You live over there every day. Didn't the Bible say something like leave and cleave? You ain't left. I see it all the time. We got a lot of young couples here. And I see it. I get uncomfortable when I start seeing this happen. Mama just going everywhere where daughter's going. Husband just got to she's always going to be my daughter. Just because she married you don't mean nothing. You might leave tomorrow. And see, now, and then what does the daughter think when she hears her mom talk like that? You're transferring your bitterness over what happened. You're making it worse. Some of y'all parents, y'all making it worse. It's time for a reframing, church. Now, the picture doesn't change. The picture doesn't change, but we have to reframe how we package it. It's got to be a new focus. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ will never change. Amen. This is the gospel. God created us within him. Sin separated us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's the gospel. We need to present this gospel in a different way. Let me show you. See, the Bible says, and we've been going through this whole year in the book of Revelation. It says in Revelation, after he talks, Jesus talks to the church of Laodicea, the last church. Okay? Remember, we have to think in our minds whether or not Jesus comes in this generation or not. In our mind, we need to know and believe and go at it like he is going to come back. And we have to honor our Lord by making sure the gospel, his gospel, is not presented in a way that shoves him out the back door. Yeah. See, church, let me tell you something. At the Adventist Church is one of the best Christian denominations at baptisms. The best, hands down. We baptize way more than any other Christian denomination. But see, the challenge and the problem is, church, we baptize 600, but 700 leave. You telling me that's not a flat tire? That's not a hole in the ship? That's why I'm talking about this reframing, church. We have to close the back door. Let me go back. Let me read this. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I mean, what a savior. What a savior. He doesn't come kicking down the door. He's knocking in a respectful position. He's standing there knocking. And if you understand the Greek, it's not just, "Behold, I stand at the door and knocked" back in the day, or yesterday, or 2 weeks ago. "Behold, I stand at the door and continue knocking." Every day he's there. Like UPS, he shows up every day trying to deliver the package. What's in the package? Salvation. What's in the package? Grace. What's in the package? Joy. What's in the package? Peace. That passes all understanding. Yeah, the job market says we can't get you a job, but guess what I have for you? If you follow me, you put me first, I'll take care of it. That's the gospel. That's what he wants to deliver to our millennials today. And he's standing there every single day at the door of our hearts. He doesn't go away. He doesn't get offended when we don't come open the door. But see, the problem is, it's like, if we understand where our society is going, our homes are becoming more mobile. The millennials now are not buying as many homes now. And they're used to, and they're getting into moving around more. And I believe, as Jesus was talking to the church of Laodicea, he understood, and he kind of anticipates that this door will, the door of our hearts will be a mobile door, a mobile place where we live. And he, wherever the house goes, he goes. He follows us around, just trying to get access. "Oh, would you let me in?" But he's respectful. He doesn't force his way. If anyone hears my voice, Jesus is not judgmental. He doesn't have any kind of criteria before he will come into your house. He knows your house is jacked up. He knows it's a big mess. That's why you think, just like with us, we don't let certain people in our house because of the mess that's inside, literally. I mean, that's just the truth. That's just human nature. But he stands there knocking. He says, "If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Let me keep going. Let me wrap this sermon up. Three ways to reach millennials. It's community. Number one, community. What do I mean by community? Community is, this is what's the name of this gym? I forget.
Planet Fitness.
Planet Fitness. I was a member there, but then we moved. Planet Fitness. They've based their whole advertising campaign on this right here. Because they know people feel uncomfortable with their weight in their body sometimes, but they want people to still come and be able to work out at their pace and at their level so they could get to where they want to be. But a lot of other gyms, you know, it's almost a stigma that, "Oh, you're not worthy to come and exercise in our gym. You're not worthy to walk into our church, our gym." They are desperate for community. Desperate with all of their heart and souls. They want community. Why do you think they go online? It's the online communities. They don't have to go anywhere. They just pick up their device and they're there. They want to be recognized as individuals inside their community, though. Where they feel accepted, like, thank you. They feel accepted. And like Pastor Wright poured his heart out last week. They want that hug so badly. Yes. They want that hug. They don't want to be tired of being judged and criticized and labeled. "Oh, you don't measure up. Your dress and attire doesn't measure up. Why haven't you gotten a job yet?" They are desperate for community. Number two, they want community and they want authenticity. See, millennials love stories. They love hearing stories. It's not so much as doctrine anymore, but it has to be a conversation. It has to point to something or someone that means something to them. They need something that's real, that's authentic. And it just can't just be a list of doctrines in a book. But it has to be a revelation of Jesus Christ. Every single doctrine should point back to Jesus Christ. And if we can't do it, that's the reframing I'm talking about. We can't just say, keep the Sabbath. Or when you die, you're sleeping. If it doesn't point back to Jesus, it doesn't really hit home for them. It doesn't hit home for our community right out these doors. See, what they really want are these. See, this is what I'm talking about, parents, is that when you graduate from being just a parent to now you're being a mentor to your child. So that you can share life together with them. And listen, these are the things that mentors should be here to bring to the table. These are the things that says they challenge you. The mentors have the experience that they want. The mentor is where they want to be. They support you. It's a great listener. So if they don't want to ask, don't say anything. Well, I think you should. Has it worked? Y'all tell me. Let me keep going. Is invested in your success? See, I tell the young people all the time, don't just trust anybody. I give them three criteria for who to trust. You need to trust somebody who doesn't need anything from you, that's older than you, that has what you want. Anybody else? Because what happens is they go and talk to their knucklehead friends, and their knucklehead friends are making bad decisions. Well, shoot, nobody, I don't have nobody else to look up to and tell me what to do, so I guess, it's almost like they succumb to living their life making all these bad decisions with the mindset that nobody even cares that I'm making these bad decisions. I really want to talk, but who's going to listen? Church, we need to listen. Yeah. We've said enough. Yeah. We've said enough. And the last one, they need spirituality. Not religion as we how we framed it. Because our religion keeps certain people out. But see, they want the spirituality that's experiential. That they walk in one Sabbath and they leave different. Because they've experienced Christ. They've experienced His Holy Spirit coming in and moving on their heart. Church, we have a 5-year plan. Me and the pastoral team, and we've been working, and Cecil's been helping us, guide us, and putting this all together. We have a 5-year plan. But now, it might not be right away, but it's coming. Right here. Small groups. Let me read y'all this quote. Let me read y'all this quote. Oh, hang on. Well, I put this up here that this is where we need to understand. Now, I want you, this is talking about relationships and friendships, but it relates to where I'm going. A relationship without trust is like a cell phone with no service. And what do you do with a cell phone with no service? You play games. And in my mind, it's just like church, where we have no, we want the relationship, but then they don't trust us. They don't know us. We have the truth, but then no relationship with them. So nowadays, it's like they don't even play the games. They just don't even show up. Let me wrap this up. This is the quote. This floored me right here, y'all. And we love Ellen White, but guess what? She understood where we're going. Forgive the fall, it's a small fall, but let me read it for y'all. The foundation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort is a plan that has been presented before to me by one who cannot err. If there is large numbers in the church, let members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church, but for the unbelievers also. So we quote Ellen White. But this is one thing I'm hoping that I'm praying. I've been reading and studying for so long. But this is one thing I'm hoping that we can finally make happen here at Tacoma Park. Small groups. And I'm taking my pastoral ministry classes. And one the class that I took on youth and young adult ministry, they said that the one way to include all the three things that millennials need, community, authenticity, and spirituality, where you can get all that in one place? Small groups. Church, it's time to reach, maybe, you know, how we do Sabbath school, maybe, you know, we might need to consider reframing. I'm going to just put it out there. Again, the main point. The gospel, though its core will never change, salvation by faith in Christ through grace, its implementation has to be reframed to reach this current generation as if Jesus indeed is returning to it. As we close, I'm going to ask Pastor Anwar to come. Church, this millennial generation wants a place to belong. And Pastor Wright's been saying this over and over recently. And he believes, our senior pastor believes this. But he can't do anything by himself. He needs us as a church to do it. Belonging comes before believing. Yeah, they may not be baptized yet. Yeah, they may not know all 28 fundamental doctrines yet. But do they know? And have we shown them that they belong regardless? If they come here, we have a hug for them. We have acceptance for them. Some of us they don't have anywhere to go. They go home and it's a mess. Mom or dad isn't there. Their friends aren't wise and are old enough to figure things out yet. That's what we're here for, church. To be the stopgap in this broken world. We should have what the world wants. And these millennials, they want community. They want authenticity. They want spirituality. But they have to know that they belong because we know them. Church, Jesus is standing at the door. Here at Tacoma Park, he's standing at the door. And he wants to know whether or not we'll be willing to reframe things so that we can reach the next generation. You know you're doing something as a generation where the next generation can stand on your shoulders and be even better and even more awesome. We need the millennials, because if we don't minister to them properly, this church would be empty in 10 years. But they need us at the same time. So church, I'm going to do something completely unorthodox for this appeal. I've been praying about this for months, and I didn't know how it was going to go. I'm just going to do it and just trust that God gave it to me. And just you, everyone in here. Now, millennials, I want you to stay seated, okay? I want you to stay seated. Every 35 and under, stay seated. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Our Gen Xers and baby boomers in the congregation today, I want y'all to do something for me. I want you all to show the millennials, okay? I want you all to show all of them in here. By when you stand, I want you to stand with an honest heart now. But you say, you know what? Millennials, I'm sorry. Even if it hasn't been you, look, I'm sorry for our judgmental, critical attitude towards you. We accept you. We love you. We want the best for you, but we don't need anything from you. We just want you to belong here. So those are older, 35 and older, if that's you, and if you believe that, and you say, you know what, I'm going to stand because I want to show them that they're accepted here at Tacoma Park. I want you to do so now. You accept them. You love them. You care about them. Millennials, I want you to look and see what's going on here. Thank you, Holy Ghost, thank you. Listen, now millennials, now this appeal is for you now. And we have a ways to go, but millennials, I want you to hear me now. If you say, you know what, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and you know what, I still feel uncomfortable. I still have some things in my heart that I need to let go, but I'm willing to stay in the boat. I'm willing to stay in the church. I'm willing to give it a shot. If that's you, millennials, please, I want you to stand. If that's you, you say, you know what, I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to try it. I know a couple people that I know I can trust. There's a few people that I can trust here at Tacoma Park that I can unburden my heart to, that I can be honest and vulnerable with. And tell and share the mistakes that I've made, but I know that they'll accept me. I want you to stand. Trust God through us. The people that you know have a relationship with God, trust God through them. Pastor Chris, I want you to come up here. Now, what I want Pastor Chris to do, Pastor Chris, I want you to pray for the older members of our church. And I want you to pray that they're honest and sincere in their stand, and that we will be that church that the millennials need. I want you to pray that. I'm going to pray for the millennials.
They're standing, oh God, showing those of us that look up to them that they're willing to be an advocate for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That they're willing to be open for us. Lord, we thank you so much to be able to see this, to be able to see the support that we have, Lord, as a young man myself, looking out of the crowd, Lord, and seeing those that I know that I can trust, it fills my heart with joy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
To know, Lord, that there are people that are standing in this church that when I'm going through something, that when I'm feeling pain, that when I need someone to talk to, that when I need a shoulder to lean on, oh God, that there are those that I can look to, those that are filled with your spirit, oh God, that are willing to stand in the gap for me, that are willing to approach you on my behalf, that are willing to lend their shoulders, Lord, so that when I need them, I can cry on, so that they will lend their ears, Lord, so when I just need to let the stress off of my chest, When I just need to speak about the problems that I'm going through day to day, Lord, that they're willing to lend me that ear. God, I'm asking that you would give them strength.
Yes, Lord.
Some of the things that we have, they're a little heavier than they might know. But, oh God, because they have stood, I know that you will give them the power.
Yes, yes.
Because, Lord, it is your power working through them that is causing them to stand to their feet now. Oh God, I'm asking that you would bless them as they move forward, Lord. I'm asking that as we continue on from this place forevermore, Lord, whether it's the people that are young that are standing in this church, Lord, whether it's their own children, whether it's the young people that they see in their own neighborhoods, Lord, that their stance will still be the same, that they'll still be willing to reach out, oh God, and help those that they know they can help. There's a wisdom, Lord, that they have.
Yes, yes.
That we as younger folk don't have yet.
Yeah.
Let them share it with us, oh God. And let them share it with us in a loving and caring way.
Yes, Lord.
Again, oh God, we thank you for those that have stood. And if there are those that have not stood, oh God, move in their hearts. Move in them in a way that you will be able to open them and so that they can show the love, Lord, that you have even shown them. We thank you again, oh God, for your blessing this morning, this afternoon. And we ask for your blessing yet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Lord, as we wrap this prayer time up, I lift up your...